Good morning, church. It is good to be back. You have no idea. Well, maybe you do. I've missed worshiping at church. My voice is still kind of sort of there. So we'll see. I've said this in the newsletter already, and if you haven't subscribed to the newsletter, you really should. You'll get bombarded with about 6,000 words from me every week. Sometimes it's 25. But I try and keep the church up to date with the newsletter. So in the back of the bulletin, you have the newsletter subscription. I've said this already. I want to say it again. I want to say thank you for your prayers. Some of you sent me messages. It's very much appreciated. I have been sick for literally a month, including about Nikki's nodding her head because she knows what that's like. In fact, it's been going around a little bit. Paul Bauer, our head elder, is also sick. And so he has had the same thing. I did not touch or see Nikki or Paul, so they can't even blame me. But I do want to say a big thank you to Jamie for stepping up. A month ago now, I messaged Jamie on Friday, and within a few minutes, he says, sure, no problem. So thank you, Jamie, to Ben for leading out in communion. Thank you so much. And of course, to my beautiful wife, Nadia, for preaching a couple of weeks ago. She did such a great job, I've heard. I'll get her to do more, I mean, talented, spiritual, and beautiful. I'm a lucky man. It's all right, Jamie and Ben, you can be beautiful too in your own way. I am still coughing just a little bit, so just bear with me if I do that a couple of times today. I preached last week, I got through it okay, but I did prepare a slightly shorter sermon today, just in case my voice doesn't hold up. Slightly shorter, by about 20 seconds, so not by much. So I'm going to pray. Thank you for Kaz and Wendy for organizing our worship today, to the musicians, Kev, Jeanette, Helena, Luke, there's like five Lukes that we have in this church, Josh, Lisa for playing, and Simone, thank you for sharing your testimony. That's the stuff I miss about church, you know, coming to worship together and to sing together and to hear of experiences together. But we are going to pray now and we will get into our message for today. I like to kneel. Feel free to stay seated as we pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you once again that we have this opportunity, this beautiful day that we can come before you in worship. Lord, my prayer remains the same, that you will hide the messenger behind the message and behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory goes back to you and to you alone. Lord, I ask that you not just open our minds, but you open our hearts as well as we open your word. So thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you've read the newsletter, you would have read Sylvia's comments on this final quarter of the year. We've had a general theme which we've announced. Some of you may remember, some of you may not, on what this entire quarter has looked like. We've had themes that have guided the progressive flow of our sermon. Of our sermons, rather. So we started off on your mark, get set, that was our theme, basically just to set the stage, and then in quarter two, we said, naturally, go. And of course, we had the Revelation Today series, where we went out into the community, we ran a month-long series with churches of the other regions, and then in quarter three, it was come. We were inviting people to come to our churches, and we did the Pictures of Faith series, just re-examining the distinctives of our church. Now, our quarter four theme is, I know it's not the most catchy or elegant theme, it's move some more. Yes, I came up with it, and the idea behind it is that we're going to have a number of things happening in the final quarter of 2019. We have the two baptisms that we've already mentioned next week with Olivia and a couple of weeks' time with Raquel at the school. We have Eric Flickinger. Now, Nadia said that she forgot to mention this. In your bulletins, you will have two or three of these cards. Share them around. One thing I do want to mention is that Eric Flickinger are doing back-to-back sessions in other churches as well. So you will see that he's going to do two at Gilson, two at a couple of other places I can't remember, but they are the same. Okay? So it's two back-to-back sessions repeated. What you want to do is go to the one in Nunawading. That's probably the closest. And of course, we have the regional on 23rd. It's the same day we had Pathfinder's investiture, but that's the date that works for Eric, so we had to make that work. The church will be open, of course. Road to Bethlehem, our Christmas program, carols on the lawn, a church social in the works, and then year-end holidays. So a lot of things going on before we start to take that break. Now, in addition to all of that, we have one more series that we've planned. It is a series, a shorter series, a four-part series on the book of Daniel. Now, the book of Daniel is 12 chapters long, and some chapters require multiple presentations, but we're doing it in four sessions because we are going to look at the non-prophetic elements of Daniel, okay? So the narrative, the story side of Daniel, and we're going to, Sylvia and I, we have a rough flow already, but that will start on the 26th of October, going through to the first 3 weeks of November. And sometime next year, we'll look at some of the prophetic elements of Daniel. Now, I know what you're thinking. He says he's going to preach a short sermon, but spends 15 minutes telling about what's happening with the rest of the year. Well, here's the thing. All of that is actually part of, I guess you would say, the introduction to my sermon today. Because for our sermon today, as we start off this third quarter, I want to go back to the basics. To, I guess, go back to the basics of, you know, the theme being move. Why we move? Why do we do what we do? Now, considering a number of us will inevitably be quite busy, especially with things like Road to Bethlehem, I want to start off this quarter by refocusing on why we're moving. Now, let me explain further and what I mean, and I'll tell you what the rest of this sermon looks like. I'm going to share two passages. I'm going to show you a video, and then I'm going to finish out with a short study of a passage in Mark. Okay, so a couple of passages, a video, and then we'll finish in a passage in Mark. Now, let me start by asking you this. If I had to get you to summarize Christianity in one Bible verse, what verse would you give me? It's not a trick question. Okay, good. It will be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the essence of Christianity. It doesn't get any more basic than what this verse tells us. That we have eternal life, we have this gift, simply because of what Jesus has done for us. If I were to break this down a little bit more, I would go to the passage that Jeanette has read for us today, Philippians chapter 2. I want to read it again. Am I speaking really fast, by the way? It feels like I am, aren't I? No? I'm just excited to be back, that's all. So I'm going to just take a deep breath and slow it down just a little bit. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, this is a powerful verse. This is a powerful exposition of John 3:16 because it starts off by talking about who God is. Now, let me highlight a couple of things. It says, being in the form of God is who Jesus is equal with God, so he is God. So that's how you start there. You start off no higher than, you can't get any higher, so to speak. But then God begins this downward trend, step by step, to making himself of no reputation. He says, I'm going to strip away everything that identifies me with the glory and the power of God, Jesus says. I'm going to take that back, and I'm going to be just like men. Just like a man, in fact, a bond servant. So not just any high-class socialite man, but an actual servant. And not only that, Jesus says, I'm just when you think you can't get any lower, Jesus says, I'm going to be obedient to the point of death, but not just any death, the death of the cross. The worst way to die. It is degrading, it is painful, it is humiliating. How low can you go? You really can't get any lower. It's actually quite counterintuitive to human nature. What do I mean? Let me explain. So let's say you start off in a company and you work for a, you know, give me an industry, just whatever. I'll pick on IT because I used to work in IT. I start off in the call center, okay? And I'm picking the answering phone calls. And then after 6 months, my boss says, oh, you know the team of 12? I want you to be the team leader. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, it's, of course. Thank you. And I'm telling everyone, praise the Lord for God blessing me and all that. And you should. So I become a team leader. And then 2 years later, my boss leaves and he says, you know what? I'm going to make you the department manager. So you're going to be in charge of that team. You're going to be in charge of the night shift. You're going to be in charge of this and that. And you are now the department manager. And you're like, wow, fantastic. That is absolutely great. God, you know, you've blessed me. And then 3 years later, the CEO comes and says, you know what? You've done a great job. I love it. I think you should go back and work in the call center again. It starts tomorrow. How would you feel? Oh, don't be self-righteous. You'll feel horrible. You'll be like, what? What did I do to deserve this demotion? You know, you would fight for your rights. You would go, there's nothing that I have done, supposedly, to earn this demotion. Now, even if the pay is still the same, human nature would dictate that we see that as not that good. Here's one of the things I love about our church system, okay? In our church system, things work slightly differently. I'm talking about the pastoral church system. So, if I'm the pastor at the local church, which I am right now, the conference sees that maybe I'm somewhat responsible, and they go, we're going to make you the Eastern Metro District Leader. Okay, so about 13, 14 pastors. There's a Lilydale church, you know, a few other churches around the area. We want you to be the district leader. Cool, more responsibility. Oh, pay you more? Sure, no way. But more responsibility. And then one day, some of you kind folk may think, Yoshi should be conference president. No, thank you. Illustration only, okay? So you should go up to be the conference president, and now I'm now supposedly in charge of the entire Victorian conference, overseeing the how many churches that we have, the 80 or so pastors. And then one day somebody goes, oh, Yoshi, you know, we like you. Yeah. No, thank you once again. Let's put you in the union. Traveling around Australia to the different states, going to your various events, blah, 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 and all that. And one day, oh man, you've made it big when you've gone all the way to the South Pacific Division. You go to the islands, you're traveling, you have, you know, you rack up miles like nobody's business. It's absolutely fantastic. And one day, Maryland, Silver Springs, in the U.S., ta-da, the General Conference. And then after all of that, you come back to the local church. Do you know that that's actually how our system works? Because in between any of these, you can jump up and down, so to speak, and it is not a demotion. And pastors actually don't see it as a demotion. Take that back. Most don't see it as a demotion. Because it's not meant to be about prestige and position. Christianity is meant to be, in many ways, counterintuitive. We need to be, I guess, to refocus our perspectives, to remind ourselves what it means to love and to serve just like Jesus loved and served. Because it is, I can tell you, naturally counterintuitive, Shanae, even to pastors, correct? But the system is in place. Now, you're thinking, ooh, Where are we getting at with this? I want to show you a 3.5 minute video now. We're coming to our second part, and then we'll finish on a passage in Mark. It's a trailer for a TV series. It's controversial. Now, I'm not saying it's rude or explicit, so it's nowhere close to rude or explicit, but it may evoke, I don't know, mixed feelings, perhaps even judgmental feelings on your part, or maybe you're just a better Christian than I am, and you feel, oh, yeah, okay. So, I'll have to admit, though, watching this trailer several times and actually watching some of the series itself did change my perspective. So what I'm about to show you is a trailer for a TV series based on real people, okay? Nothing explicit, nothing rude, don't worry. As I have to say that because of reality TV that we have these days. It's not your typical reality TV show. The clip is about 3.5 minutes long, but I'm going to play just the first 30 seconds, and then it will fade out. And I want to kind of gauge your reaction. I'll let you just sink that in. I want to make a couple of comments, okay? And then we'll continue with the rest of the clip. So here's the first 30 or so seconds of this trailer. Let's have a watch.
Every sin, sins of omission, sins of commission, in the name of Jesus.
Every chain can be broken. Every shackle can be broken. You're part of the family of God.
God, we ask and we believe for your healing power and grace to touch his body and make him whole.
Just bow your head and say,
Lord Jesus,
forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
I believe in my heart
that Jesus Christ
died for my sins. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
I'm saved.
Okay, pause right there. This is a reality TV show about actual preachers living in LA. Now, before I show you the rest of the clip, let me just say this. There is something about the African-American style of preaching. Now, I understand one of them is Caucasian, but the African-American style of preaching is something that I actually really like. There is gusto, there is power, there is energy, there is charisma, there is excitement. Can I get a witness in here? Well, don't, because I'm not African-American, right? So there is this sense of, it may or may not be your cup of tea, but one thing you cannot deny is that you have to pay attention to it, right? You may go, it's not my cup of tea. But it's hard to fall asleep when an African-American is preaching, correct? I have a lot of friends who are African-American. None of these, well, I'll show you the rest of the video. They are not Seventh-day Adventists. I have a lot of African-American friends, close friends, who are powerful, dynamic preachers, who, for all intents and purposes, exude that same, you know. But there's two things I want to mention before I show you the rest of the clip. The first thing is this. What you're about to see next is in no way, I guess, representative of all African-American preachers or preachers of that genre. Okay? I just want to make that clear. And I know many, like I said, who have nothing in common with what you're about to see, and then you're thinking, what are we about to see? Just be patient. The second thing I want to mention is this. This may all may not rub you the wrong way. And when you see the rest of this 3-minute clip, perhaps we can talk about why. So let's have a look at the Preachers of LA trailer, the rest of it.
Can we be real about God just for a moment? He wants you to be healed. He wants you well. He wants you prosper.
My name is Bishop Ron Gibson.
I'm Bishop Clarence E. McClendon.
My name is Dietrich Haddon.
I'm Wayne Chaney.
My name is Jay Hazlip.
My name is Noel Jones.
The Bible says that I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I believe that.
P. Diddy, Jay-Z, they're not the only ones who should be driving Ferraris and living in large houses.
The Bible says that those who sow among us should reap from us. And that's implying that the preacher is to be taken care of.
I like being successful.
Security is a necessary part of what we do.
Being a pastor is very dangerous because you have to be perfect at all times.
People put you up on a pedestal that you can't live on.
Pastors are people just like everybody else. It's all about truth for me from this point on. The truth about my baby out of wedlock, the truth about my divorce, it happened. There's nothing I can do about that. I'm a pastor, but at the end of the day, I'm a man.
Does it ever get to a place where it's really not about love, but it's about winning?
Winning what? Winning a man or a relationship?
No, winning me. Winning me.
You're not a prize.
I am a prize.
That's right.
Maybe I don't love you as much as you love me.
Maybe you don't. And maybe I don't love you as much as you think I love you.
I'm trying my best to balance it all. And just when you think you have it managed, just can't do this, man.
If we plan on having more children, I want to be married. We have more than you a relationship like I'm your part of your congregation. I'm not. Don't pastor me.
Best part of my job is helping hurting people.
You're going to be who God called you to be. You're a leader.
I didn't think it could be, young brothers, until it happened to me.
My life has changed.
Living in the streets, dodging bullets, that's the low life. There's a life, brothers, where you can be free.
I believe that no one is beyond redemption.
What I really love about being a pastor is seeing people's lives change.
Everywhere I go, I try to influence people. I try to help them.
At the end of the day, this is what I was made to do.
I should have brought my sunnies. Okay, to be clear, I will not comment on the preachers featured there because, number one, I don't know them. And the Bible says very clearly in Matthew 7, judge not, lest ye be judged. And moreover, there are some things in the video that are fantastic. Things about truth. Jesus does have the power to change and to heal. And there are some things which will probably make you go, I mean, if I turned up at church with a Ferrari and my own security team. Did somebody say amen? That's going to be the upcoming business meeting agenda, by the way. Security for Yoshi and a new Bentley. That was a joke, just in case anyone's... Here's the thing. Human nature, it is very easy to just do the right thing with the wrong reason. Very, very easy. Let's just leave Jay Hayslip and Ron Gibson and all these people alone, right? Because this issue goes back to not just these supposedly big shot, you know, out there. It comes back to you and me. How do I know that? Because if we go all the way back to the time of Jesus, there was this exact same issue, and we're going to finish on this passage in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 onwards. The Bible says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. So, they're saying, Jesus, we've followed you for what? Probably 3 years now. We've heard the miracles. We've heard the sermons. We want to serve with you. We want to be right by your side. In fact, we want to be a little bit more equal than others and to be on your right and to be on your left in your glory. It's funny because a lot of times the human nature, even back then, equates serving to position. I can tell you as a pastor, I'm just as guilty. It's like that hierarchy, that structure, you know, we have a bit of a poke, we have a bit of a laugh and all that. But it's just human nature. Jesus' answer in verse 38, he says this, you don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. So Jesus says, yep, You say you can because you will, but it's going to be counterintuitive to what you are asking for. The disciples had a one-track mind. By the way, it wasn't just James and John who had this. Other disciples, we're not going to read verses 40 and 41, but they said, oh, well, if they want right and left, we want the other right and left too. But then Jesus tries to clarify things further in verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be, what's that word? Slave of all. And Jesus is saying, the disciples are saying, we get it. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't. Let me spell it out very clearly in this final verse, in this segment, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Because that's what being the right on the left, that's what it means. That's what it means to be in Jesus' glory. How low can you go? It doesn't go any lower than what Jesus has done. We can't go any lower, but we can be by his side. And do you know what that means to be by his left and his right? Our final verse for today. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his and the other on his. I've shared this passage before in a different context with a different purpose. But in everything that you do, in everything that I do, in everything that we do, never forget why we're doing this. Because we are meant to be walking side by side with the God of love who came all the way down, no lower than he can go. And we are to point people back to him. My prayer is that we close out the year. Everything that we do, let me be bold and say this. If anything else stands out, then we're doing it wrong. And you and I'm just as in danger of doing that. As we finish the final quarter of 2019, may we focus on his healing, his power, his grace. May that drive us. I want to invite the praise team to come up. As they do, I'm going to play the first 30 seconds of the trailer again, okay? And then we'll sing our closing song, Broken Vessels. And may that be our cry. But as I play the first 30 seconds of that trailer, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play it without the video. So there's only be the audio. We're going to remove the distractions of whatever prejudgment that you and I have already made about some of these speakers. We're going to just hear the core essence of their message. I want you to pay attention when we're able to strip everything away. And it may or may not make a difference to you. But my prayer is that amidst all the wonderful programs we will plan and we will do our best, by the way, giving your best is different from being the best. Because being the best means you have to be better than somebody else. You see what I'm saying? Doing your best, you are doing the best that you can do. But I'm going to play this final song, this final clip, same 30-second clip, without the video, just the audio. And may our focus be on discovering the powerful truths of his healing, his love, his deliverance, his acceptance, his grace, and his sacrifice for us.
Hallelujah.
Sins of omission, sins of commission, in the name of Jesus.
Every chain can be broken. Every shackle can be broken. You're part of the family of God.
God, we ask and we believe for your healing power and grace to touch his body and make him whole.
Just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Died for my sins. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.